You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, back here with some more highlights from this year's Transform Master Series. Real estate can be a tough gig and you have to be resilient. Tom Panos often says that you need to make rejection your best friend because you're going to get a lot of it. In property management, it's often dealing with people at their worst or their most stressed that in fact causes us stress. But it's those people that can handle rejection or the setbacks that they're given in life that are still able to move forward are the ones that we all admire for doing so. In this podcast, HR and emotional intelligence expert Ushta Naik talks to our masters about the need for resilience in life as well as in business, how to avoid what she refers to as the rabbit hole syndrome of negative self-talk, which we can all be a bit prone to, and how to get yourself into a much more positive mindset instead. This one has something for everyone, and I do hope that you enjoy this bonus session with Ush.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus.
The definition of resilience is perseverance and diligence in the face of setbacks. So I'm going to let you know what it looks like if you have this competency and what it looks like if you don't have it. And there's a key difference. So if you are someone that has resilience, then you're going to know how to cope in spite of your setbacks, barriers and limited resources. You're going to be able to overcome obstacles to get to what you want, and you're going to be able to bounce back from disappointments and adversity. You're going to be flexible and adaptable. And the biggest one is that if you do get a setback, you're going to see that that setback is temporary. And if you get failure, you're able to distinguish that failure is isolated and short term. And the biggest mistake people make is they think that failure is permanent or the setback that they're facing is permanent. If you're lacking resilience, then you're going to see failure as permanent. You're going to demonstrate inflexible thinking. So if you're not resilient, you're actually not going to be able to see the solution that's in front of you, which is crazy because when you're resilient, the thing that you need is answers. And if you're not resilient, you're not going to get them because you're going to be demonstrating inflexible thinking. If you're not resilient, you can get stuck in the past and you can't move forward. And the biggest thing that people suffer from if they're not resilient is negative self-talk. And it's stuff like, you know, what were you thinking? You're not going to bounce back from this. And I can't believe I did that. I want to share a couple of stories with you guys on resilience. In terms of my background, I was a lawyer for a number of years. And then I went into HR for 10 years. And then 2.5 years ago, I set up my own outsourced HR business to support people that don't have in-house HR. I got a business coach, luckily, when I started, and I got a couple of associates on board because the business was growing. It was great. One of my associates, she joined me when I actually first started the business, and she worked with one of my main clients. It was an RSL club, and she was working with them for 12 months. And I hadn't had a holiday in like 3 years, so I took 2 weeks off to go back to London to see my family after 8 years. And I was stressed the whole time thinking, oh, what's going to happen when I come back? And my fear came true. So when I came back, she actually had approached the client and took the client on herself and sort of cut the business out of it. And they engaged her. So I lost massive amounts of revenue coming in each month. And my resilience totally went from like 10 to minus 10 overnight. And then I spoke to my coach and he's like, right, so what is the learning from this? And I'm like, what do you mean? What's the learning? Like, I've got no trust and everything I taught was sort of thrown out the window. And he said, you know what? He goes, the worst case here is that you start where you started off and that would be with no clients and you just build it back up. And it was so true. Like the things that I was thinking of was that, you know, I'm going to have to go get a job and I've lost everything. And resilience is something you learn. It's a muscle you need to train. You're not going to become resilient overnight. I'm 2 years into my own sort of coaching journey on EQ and I still have days where I'm not resilient. But what it's doing is it reminds you that you can bounce back. So that was just one example of me not having resilience, but it happens all the time. Has everyone heard of the rabbit hole syndrome? So rabbit hole syndrome is if you have one negative thought, it's going to lead to another negative thought and another one, and you basically put yourself down this rabbit hole and you struggle to get out of it. So what I want to do is run through with you 7 questions that you can ask yourselves if you find yourself experiencing this negative self-talk. And I'll give you an example of mine. I was working with a client of mine 6 months into the contract. It was a 9-month contract. We just happened to finish early and there was no reason it finished early. We pretty much did a really good job and the client just ended and they were really happy. We got referrals. What I probably didn't plan for was to replace that client as early enough as I should have because we finished in 6 months. And I walked away from that client meeting and I swear to God, the first thought that went through my head was, how am I going to replace that client? And I went down this rabbit hole syndrome of going from how am I going to replace the client to I need to tell my husband at dinner tonight that we need to sell our house so I can keep my business afloat. And I kid you not, I went from that to that within the space of like 10 minutes. And it was this rabbit hole syndrome thing that I'm talking about. And for me, that was the worst case scenario. And it was totally irrational. Like I said, 2 years in my journey, still having those thoughts, it's still work in progress. And I want to take you through these 7 questions. So when I got home and I was talking to my partner about it, we went through these 7 questions and I'll tell you what the outcome at the end of it is and was. So question 1 is, what is the worst thing that can happen? So for me, losing that client 3 months earlier than I expected, the worst case for me was that I'd have to sell my house to keep my business going. Question 2 is, what is the probability of that worst case? Which means, how likely is that worst case to happen? And it can be a rating of 1 to 5, 1 to 10, or a percentage, whichever one you feel. Question 3, what is the one thing you can do to help stop that worst thing from happening? So for me, to stop me selling my house was to go out there and win more clients. Question 4, what's the best thing that can happen? So what we've done here is we've got you to assess the worst case, which a lot of coaches don't do, believe it or not. And we've got that out of the way. We've assessed the probability and we've got you to identify what the one thing you can do to stop it from happening. And now we want to focus on what's the best thing that can happen. So the best thing for me was that I finished that client 3 months earlier than expected and I asked them to give me a referral to another client. Question 5, what is the one thing you can do to make that best thing happen? So for me, it basically meant going back to that client, asking for feedback, making sure they were happy, and then asking them to make a referral. Question 6, so you've done the worst case, done the best case. What is the most likely thing that's going to happen? So in my case, the most likely thing that will happen is within a space of 3 months, I aim to have a client within the next 6 weeks. Last question 7, and again, believe it or not, coaches never ask this question. It's a really, really powerful question. And the question is, what can you do to handle the most likely thing when it happens? So a lot of coaches will get you to say, okay, well, here's the solution. But they actually don't ask you what you're going to do for it or what you're going to do to cope with it. And this is basically getting you to think about what steps you can take to get to that outcome when it happens. So it's 7 questions, and it is so good to ask yourself when you feel like you're having some negative thoughts, or even if you're dealing with a situation and you don't really know what the answer is or you're struggling. It's also a good tool to use in team meetings as well. So a lot of our clients use that in team meetings if there's a business problem that they need to focus on or use. But what that does is it triggers you from going down that rabbit hole and taking those steps that, you know, really put you in a bad place. And once you've thought of the worst case, it's almost putting it out there and it's probably not as bad as you thought once you've worked out what the likely outcome's going to be. And then you take steps to build that. So to become resilient and also to remain resilient, you really need to start understanding what your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors are and whether those thoughts and feelings contribute to your resilience or are they hindering you from becoming more resilient. And I want to just take you through a couple of points, and it's called thinking that hinders a resilient mindset. So the first one's called filtering. So filtering is when you take the negative details out of a situation and you hold a magnifying glass over that negative detail and you lose sight of everything else that was positive in that situation. So filtering is something, you know, we do all the time without realizing. Polarized thinking is another one. So polarized thinking is when you look at something as black or white, it's good or bad. You're either perfect or you're a failure and there's sort of no gray. And this is what stops you becoming resilient, is because you're waiting for that. It's either this or it's that. Life isn't going to be like that. So polarized thinking is crap. Overgeneralization, so that's when you come to a conclusion based on a single incident. So if something bad happens, then you expect it to happen again and again and again in that situation. So that's also going to stop you becoming more resilient. Mind reading is another one. So that's where you make assumptions about what people are feeling. You make assumptions about why they act the way that you do. We do that all the time. Catastrophizing is another one. So that's when you completely expect the worst thing to happen. So in that scenario around worst case, best case, if you struggle to find out what the best case is, you're constantly stuck in that worst case scenario. That's what catastrophizing is. Personalization. So that's when you feel that everything that's happening around you is a personal attack on you. And if that's how you're feeling, then you're not going to become resilient. It's also when you start comparing yourself to others. So you might look at other people's journeys and you think they're ahead of you or they're better than you. This is the stuff that stops you becoming more resilient. Control fallacies is another one. And that's where you feel like you're a victim of fate and you feel like you're helpless all the time. Again, that stops you becoming more resilient. Blaming, that's a really obvious one. Don't need to really explain that one. But that's where you actually blame everyone else for your struggles or your pain. That doesn't support a resilient mindset either. Shoulds is another one. And this is about you having an internal list of rules about how people should behave and react and respond. And if they don't follow that list, you get annoyed and angry and frustrated. I got a list of shoulds on my 7-year-old and she doesn't comply. I get frustrated, get annoyed. You know, I've got a list of shoulds for my clients as well. And if they don't listen to me, I get annoyed. So if you can disregard that list of shoulds, it's going to help you become more resilient. Fallacy of change is another one. So that's when you expect other people to change if you help them. So it's like a coach. It's like me saying, well, I'm going to give someone coaching and if they don't improve, it's all on me. And if they don't improve, it means I'm a bad coach. That's not helping me becoming more resilient. Being right. So do you continually want to prove that you're right in every situation, whether it's at home or at work? Is being wrong unthinkable? And what lengths do you go to demonstrate that you're right? And the last one, I love this one. It's called Heaven's Reward Fallacy. So this is basically where you feel like you're doing something, you do a good deed, and then you expect a good deed to be returned. Doesn't always happen. And if that's how you carry on in the world and act, then it's really not going to help you become more resilient. So that's some of the thinking that hinders a resilient mindset, which, you know, I really want to just raise to the forefront of your mind. And none of that's probably going to be new to you. You probably all can relate to it. You all probably know it. But it's just a really good reminder to go, this is the stuff that I need to stop doing so that I can work on becoming more resilient. Other things to think about for you guys when you work on your resilience is, do you worry about situations that you can't control? Do you fail to see choices and have tunnel vision? So if you're faced with a problem, are you someone that can go, okay, here's a problem, here are some of the solutions, I can think outside the box, or do you struggle? If you struggle to come up with solutions, you can probably link it back to not being resilient. Are you also a professional procrastinator? If you are, believe it or not, again, it's going to link to your resilience. Do you expect perfection of yourself and other people that you work with? Do you resist change? If you do, that's an issue with resilience. And do you turn situations into competitions where someone has to win and someone has to lose? Failing to set limits or no, that's an issue with resilience as well. So think about your boundaries. Are you able to say no when you need to say no? Are you able to set limits? And the last one to think about is, do you expect all problems to be solved neatly? Because they're not, trust me. And there's some people out there that aren't resilient and just have this unrealistic expectation that, yeah, if there's a problem, I'm going to make sure it's resolved neatly. It doesn't happen that way. There's a really successful CEO. She's freaking awesome. And I was talking to her just a couple of weeks ago, and she said that one of the things that she attributes her success to is something her dad did growing up. And she said every day, and he did this for years and years and years throughout her childhood. And she'd come home from school, and then it was coming home from uni or college or whatever. And he would say to her, what are the 3 things that you failed at today? And she'd be like, what? Especially when she was younger. He goes, yeah, every day I want 3 of your failures. And he would do this every single day. And then she'd have to give her 3 failures, whatever they were. And then he'd high-five each of those failures, cheer her on, and he'd give her a hug to make sure that she knew that she was still loved. And then the next question he asked her was, okay, so what did you learn from them? And they actually had the discussion about, well, what did you learn? And I do this on my 7-year-old, and it's awesome. It's so cool. Because what you're doing there is you're letting people know that, you know, failure is something that's going to help you build your resilience. And overcoming these challenges and failures are going to give you learnings to make you more successful. And she is so incredibly successful now. And she really, really says, if I didn't have that, or if I didn't have someone saying to me, like, you know, her dad, who she adored, that it's okay to fail, and I'm going to high five you on each of those, providing you learn what the lesson is, because I wouldn't have been as successful as I was. And then she looked back on some of those lessons that she learned when she did fail and how that's really, really helped her. So don't be scared of failure. And it's funny, I just got back from Shanghai yesterday, and I was running a workshop exactly on resilience for half a day with these amazing Chinese people. And it was such a cultural shock, because what they were saying is that they're just not allowed to fail. So in China, failure is just really unheard of in the workplace and also at home. And I was trying to tell these people it's okay. And they were like, no, Ush, we can't. Like, it's not okay. And for half a session, we probably spent about 3 hours just trying to convince them that it's okay. And they were leaders, right? Leaders in large organizations. And trying to teach them that you now have to change your culture. You have to change your mindset and let people know that failure is okay. Because to build resilience, you are going to fail. You're just going to have to learn how to live with that and how to sort of build and what the learning is.
Okay, so that's it for this week. Catch you again soon for some more insights from our Transform Master Series. To listen in to upcoming videos and podcasts, visit eliteagent.com.au/transform. I'm Samantha McLean. See you soon.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent, with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.